This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to Surreal Talk, a look inside the world of cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal.
Something's not right, man. Something's not right. Something's bullshit here, and I don't believe it.
Honestly, this crazy shit could be completely possible.
Disclaimer, we reserve the right to be wrong, ladies and gentlemen. You think you know the whole story? Think again.
Now your hosts, Eric and Everett.
Welcome to Surreal Talk. We are back for the first time in a long time with our favorite guest host, Armand.
Thank you.
We're back. We've been off for a while. We've been doing tournaments in St. Louis. We've had a lot of shit go down. But we're back. We're ready to roll with some medical fuckery. So this should be a good one. And this, we were talking about this episode before we went live, and it pisses me off. This whole episode is a hunk of shit, and not by the no, the episode's not a hunk of shit, but everything involved, like the contents, all this bullshit that's going on in the medical industry is fucking stupid. Fucking stupid, and it's fucking retarded. I don't know.
Calm down. You're not supposed to say that word.
No, I like to see ardor here. He's very fervent.
We'll explain why, but all this shit in the whole medical industrial complex is fucked.
Quick voicemail before we get into it? We only have one this week.
Okay. Yeah, let's do the voicemail before I get too excited.
Those are usually fun.
Does he talk back?
What's up, guys?
Oh, God.
Sorry about that. Just wondering if you guys are still planning on doing a show about Alex Jones.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I'll pause it there. Yeah, eventually. I mean, the guy's a easy target.
The longer we wait, the better the show, right?
Yeah, I'm telling you.
So. Because Alex Jones, you know, will
definitely
have more dumb shit coming out.
Clamoring for it.
Right. I restarted.
What's up, guys? Alex Jones. And then if you're ever going to do a show about the Orlando shooting, about David Hogg and all that other stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
We'll probably get around
Team
to
Eric,
Orlando shooting.
All the way.
Team what? Excuse me. Hang on. Run that back. I didn't hear.
Oh, I accidentally deleted it. It's gone now. Who knows what he was talking
team
about?
Team Eric.
Who knows what he... I mean, he can't be for sure.
No, it's Team Rick. W-R-I.
Yeah, Team Rick.
That doesn't count.
Rick and Morty?
I don't think so.
Anyway.
I don't think so, Tim.
All right, well, let's hop right into it then after that awesome voicemail.
That's the only one? Okay.
Yeah, it was only one. Thanks, Adam, for that. Probably we'll get around to it. Alex Jones here before too much longer.
Well, I mean, out of all the outrage you could have over medicine, what seems to be...
Hey, what's your number one?
The cost. And it's like...
Hold on. Sorry, before we get started this, I wanted to make a quick statement about the kind of the nature of today's show. The way to think about today's show, it's going to be less of an informatory show than it is inflammatory.
That's right, Maury.
And you
speak for yourself.
You can.
I intend to inform.
You're the only one who has that potential. That's for sure.
You know, cold, emotionless logic.
I'd like to say, consider this show today almost a rant on modern medicine, but in no particular order, with really no particular agenda other than outrage. Fair enough, Armand?
Yeah,
would you say that?
I would say that Martin Shkreli would probably outrage Eric too.
What about Martin Shkreli?
Fuck that guy.
He's the guy, isn't he?
Was he the guy that bought the
EpiPen?
Jumped it up like 5,500% overnight.
But I'd like to make a comment on that though.
Go for it. Hold on, let me make sure you get your mic here.
That's actually the FDA.
Go on.
If you look at that, if you read into that, what's basically going on there is the FDA, you know, because epinephrine is a very cheap drug. It's been around forever.
Sure.
Our English listeners would call it adrenaline. It's the same thing. That's not the problem. It's actually that EpiPen. It's the delivery system.
Sure.
And
they own the patent on it, and they're the only ones that have the delivery.
Correct. And nobody else can, they're trying alternatives, as in somebody came up with a syringe full. The FDA nixed that. So it's really, believe me, it's the FDA's fault.
So we're kind of back to the old...
it's the government again.
I was going to say the old light bulb problem with the screw base versus the Tesla way of doing the light bulb. You get what I'm saying here? There's only one delivery method that's big.
That's true, but there are alternative ways. But the FDA says that we don't allow those. They don't sanction them. So again, it's the FDA, which if you want to get enraged about something,
Can you give me a little bit more of the science around those pins? Like how they're supposed to be a quick delivery mechanism, gets right into the blood,
and it's got the actual predetermined dosage.
Sure,
and that's what it is. I don't know what makes it so unique, this delivery system, but
because it's just an injection, right?
Yeah,
at the end of the day, that's what I think.
I don't think I've seen one. I mean, we used to have one at the office, and it didn't seem like it was Dr. McCoy's, whatever.
Sure, what do they call those?
Hypo.
Hypo. Why can't I remember what
that was
called?
Just a hypo, right?
Hypo spray.
Oh, is that what it is?
That's what they call them.
Well, I think they actually have that now, but that's not what this thing is.
No. let's talk about how much that could possibly cost. I don't know off the top of my head exactly the cost of it. If it's $10, I'm surprised.
I doubt that.
What?
The EpiPen.
The
EpiPen's more than $10.
To manufacture.
Oh,
yeah, right,
to actually
make.
Yeah.
The epinephrine itself is a quarter. I know that.
Okay, and then if it costs $9.75 for a plastic housing with some sort of delivery, I don't know if it's spring-loaded or gas mechanism, whatever it is, it can't be.
It's not a fucking rifle. Of course it's spring-loaded or something. Come on, it's piece of
plastic.
It could
be gas. You can have a small gas, thing. Why not? Why not?
Why?
Why not? Well, $700 markup. You got to have something kind of cool going on in there.
I mean, do you?
Nah, I guess you're right. But let's talk about that from a capitalism point of view. We're all capitalists here, right?
Damn right.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about that, though? Do you think that is capitalism at its best or capitalism at its worst?
Well, it's crony capitalism, which is capitalism at its worst. Like I said, it's the FDA getting involved and... That, of course, and that goes for medicine in general. It's my contention that if you're pissed off about the cost of medicine, get the fucking government out of it. And third parties, by the way. And do you know how all this began? I mean, during World War II.
When Carnegie and Rockefeller put money into the ADA and in turn got people on the board.
Well, the AMA.
ADA. Yeah, the Dental Association.
Well, the AMA is the problem with why we don't have many doctors, as far as doctors per capita has gone way down. But the problem, the actual third parties got involved during World War II when we were at war, of course, and FDR had wage controls. So to get the best workers, people couldn't increase their wages. I mean, the factories or whoever was looking, because that was out against the law.
Right.
So what they could do was, we'll only pay you $15,000 a year, say, but we'll also pay medical benefits. And that's how they were getting the best and, the brightest, theoretically, because they were giving medical benefits, which were, by the way, not taxed and still aren't, that actually distorts everything, too. Because I'd rather just have the pay. If you're paying $5,000 for my health insurance,
right,
give me the $5,000.
And run the
I'll worry about it myself.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of the opposite feeling on that. I like to be prepared. I like to have that insurance just in case.
Yeah, but wouldn't you want to find, if you had to get it yourself, I think it'd be more efficient than having a third party buying it for you or providing it for you.
So you say it's better to do it, just go out and find it yourself than buy it through your workplace?
Not now, because it's tax-free. Obviously, if the money's tax-free, that's like getting almost twice as much money.
Sure.
You're not getting that. But it's better if... And the other problem is these days is, and it's been kind of... it's been beaten to death a little bit, that you can't get... if you get coverage, you have to get the coverage they specify. For instance, a guy like me, I probably would catastrophic.
Right.
Cancer,
right.
Heart disease, something that costs.
Accidental death and dismemberment.
Something. Well, that's. I wouldn't worry about the medical benefits of that, but I'll make you my beneficiary if you like.
Thank you.
But.
Whoa. We didn't even talk about this. Where am I at in this equation?
Nowhere. Go on.
I'll give it to your family. I'll give it to your legacy.
Fuck.
So, whoever, you want to slip me five, 10, 15?
Where this is going.
You have to get all this psychological coverage. If you want to change genders, that has to be covered and all this. That's why insurance is so expensive. You can't get just that catastrophic package.
Insurance is so expensive, though, because at its root, medical care in this country cost way more than it should. The markups on medicines, on medical equipment and services, whether it be a paper cup that you put the pill in or the bag of IV fluids that they give to you, everything's on like just insane markup. Like they're trying to make so much of a profit off of it. You know what I mean? And that's why it's like a lot of people don't really realize that that's a lot of the reason that people can't get good health care is because this shit costs so much. And they say, oh, well, you should have had insurance. Well, people that don't have insurance do not want to go to the hospital. They're afraid they're going to incur $10,000 worth of bills for a $200 treatment. something that would cost $200 somewhere else, that's $10,000 in America.
Well, speaking as a man who's never had health insurance, I can tell you you're probably going to live longer without it.
Really?
How many times have I told you guys? You want to die, go to the hospital.
Armando's a doctor, so everyone never realizes this.
Insurance. Never had health insurance.
I just want to point this out, that everything that you're hearing today is coming from someone that's been to medical school and is a fucking doctor.
And is 55 years old.
There you go. And he's in damn fine shape, honestly.
I'll take my shirt off later.
Damn fine is a relative term, but compared to us, for sure.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I mean, the dude, he's got muscles and shit at 55 years old that I don't have at 35. So.
Well, that's there again is part of the problem with our health care in this country because, you know, it's not easy to be healthy. You have to eat right.
It's not cheap either.
Well, it's cheaper than going to the hospital, though.
It's got you there.
And most of these problems we do have that are pretty much preventable. Diabetes, heart disease.
A lot of dietary issues, what we intake.
A sedentary lifestyle. In fact, when I was in medical school, a pathologist told me, he said, you want to live 20 years longer? It's two things. Don't smoke. Well, three things, I guess. Exercise and limit your red meat intake. That's a pathologist talking.
Red meat's good, though.
I love being sedentary as well, so this is going to be a problem.
That's correct.
I don't like doing a lot, and I like.
But you will agree,
meat.
It's easier to prevent this stuff by exercise and living
obviously.
A lifestyle that's healthy than going to a hospital and having.
What's
them
the old saying? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure,
absolutely.
Or something like that.
It's so. More than a pound now. But if you look at it now,
it's
if you
a kilogram.
Look, something interesting now is if you look at cosmetic surgery,
uh-huh.
which. People pay for out of pocket.
Boobies, butts, lips, cheeks.
You name it.
Got it.
The big ones I think are lipo.
Oh, yeah, lipo.
Hair
all about
removal
that one.
Of all
bellies.
Things.
Bellies. Yeah.
Gynecomastia. Tummy tuck. You get those bitch tits out.
yeah, for men. There's a lot of medicines. A lot
absolutely.
Of medicines that were given men.
Anti-estrogens.
What was the one? It was like a SSRI in maybe the 90s, early 2000s. They were given to troubled kids like for that had ADHD.
Ritalin?
And it's not Ritalin, and it was giving them fucking man boobies.
That's
right.
Nice.
Well, a lot of these things are estrogen analogs, I guess.
And I had to look that up.
But anyway, the cosmetic surgery is actually, it's still gone up, but it's gone up less than the rate of inflation. Since I think I read the study, it was from, I think, 1998 to 2016 or something.
Hmm.
So these are actually, you know, are kind of, and that's because people have to pay themselves. And obviously, if you're paying yourself, you're going to.
I pay me more.
Pardon me?
I'd pay me more.
Well, I mean, if you're paying for yourself.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Yes. People are always more responsible. Oh, yeah.
Risperdal.
Risperdal.
Risperdal?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That one. I had a friend that was on that and had the same thing happen.
Yeah. So anyway, I think the price is, nobody cares because they're not paying, right? If you take price control out of things, basic economics.
Then nobody cares anymore.
That's right. You don't ask. Risperidone.
There it is. Timothy Andel.
Right.
Yeah, good deal.
Boy, you guys have the most informed listeners also.
Maybe.
So I found an interesting list that goes right in along with what we're talking about here. It's the top 10 ways that you're overcharged medically.
Oh, that's interesting.
So the number one thing, and I'm sure you got an opinion on all these, Armand, is build for time not spent in a room.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I would say probably the average time now that you know people spend with a patient is probably less than 10 minutes, maybe not even 5.
Well, what they're saying here is like, say you go in and you get billed for the ICU, you checked in at like 10 a.m. the night before.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, they just completely overcharge you.
This is hospital billing?
Before. Yeah, hospital billing.
Oh, okay.
Or any type of billing, but mostly looks like a hospital is on this stuff. But just charging you that extra day for whenever you were like in the OR or the ER from 10
waiting
to like 1 o'clock.
Yeah, as soon as you checked in at 10 p.m.
They start giving you the ICU fee whenever you're not even in ICU yet. Shit like that.
Not only that, but remember there's the way that we watched some stuff earlier that was like doctors can either file things as like 99213 or 99214.
Correct.
Okay, so one of those pays more than the other, right? 99214.
Theoretically based on time. It's
exactly.
Spent with the patient.
So if you spend 45 minutes with a patient,
right.
You can charge it as a 99214 versus if it was a quick 10-minute visit, you get half of the money for that. So, you know, people are like leaving them in the waiting room longer. They're charging them for this, you know, they're trying to extend these visits to where you're in their office for over an hour so that they can make
that
money.
But I disagree with that. It's true what you're stating, but let me tell you something. That's the easiest. That's the thing that scares most people out of an audit. My friends that have been audited. And they very rarely even use the 99214 99214, practically never.
Really?
99213 a few times, but usually it's a 99212, because here's what happens. If you use too many of those 99213s, that is a big red flag that goes right into the computer, and they're going to get your ass.
Really?
Medicare is really tough on those. So, yeah, they
don't use that. I thought the 214 is a more expensive one.
It is. Okay. So people very rarely use it. Because if you've got too many of those, because that's, I think, 45 minutes to an hour, I believe.
Yeah.
So theoretically, you can see only 8 patients
in a day.
Right, with a 99214. So if you start billing those, Medicare is immediately going to hit you. I mean, if you've got like more than 5 or 10 a week, you're going to get audited.
Really?
Oh, and you're going to take it up the ass. So
take it up the ass. Yeah. And you heard it from Dr. Kijigian.
That's correct.
He said, you will take it in the ass.
Medicare has the biggest dick you've ever seen.
I love it. That's great.
You don't want to take it up the ass from Medicare. So, yeah.
What's up, Cody?
That scares people. So, believe me, they don't
abuse. What's up, Dabney?
They don't abuse that code. Now, I had a buddy that was on the board in Indiana. And I mentioned no names. I don't know who this doctor was.
Uh-huh.
But he told me that they had a podiatrist out there that every patient he saw for like a month, he had the same code, and it was for the most expensive surgery in the whole catalog, which is theoretically impossible. And they busted him. He's doing time.
Is he doing time?
Oh, yeah. They put him in jail.
So that's medical fraud then.
Oh, absolutely. But this is like a $5,000 code, and he used it over and over. And I was in practice 25 years. I don't think I'd use this code twice.
Really?
Yeah, because it's like a big surgery.
Well, it's an easy way to get caught, it seems. Maybe the guy was a dumbass.
They're not totally stupid.
It sounds like a moron to me.
Well, I can't believe the guy thought he was going to get away with it. But that's one of the big red flags. A 99214, everybody knows, don't use that one unless you really, you know, if you spend an hour with a patient, absolutely. But don't fudge that one.
All right, the next one on the list here is X-ray deja vu. So basically what that is, whenever you come in, you get an X-ray and the attending in the ER looks at it, you get your first bill for, you know, X-ray analysis. Well, come Monday, then the next guy comes in and gives a second opinion.
Yeah, radiologist.
Yeah, the next radiologist.
Radiology consultation.
Right. They're apparently not allowed to be charged twice for the same reading of their X-ray. Even though it's like a second opinion, the guy just came in and just wanted to charge you.
Right.
You can argue that one, apparently.
Yeah, they're not supposed to do that.
Yeah.
But what they typically, if it's a hospital, what they'll typically do is they'll take it, and you know, the guy that took the X-ray or the admitting physician, he won't read it.
Right.
The radiologist will, and he'll zap you too
for
$300, $400.
It's just crazy. Mm-hmm. Are being double charged for anesthesiology, so it's the same.
I'm sure it happens all the time.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's bullshit, though. Like, double charging you for anesthesia?
This is just like whenever you go to the mechanic shop for your car. You know what I mean? It's the same.
Yeah, and it's widespread practices. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, we gave you an oil change, but they didn't. They just fucking topped it off with a half a quart. You know what I mean? But it's the same bullshit that the medical industry does, and it's widely known. You know, if people boycotted hospitals as much as they do, like, certain mechanic shops that practice shady practices like this, like, you know, if you could go on Yelp and review a fucking hospital, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's the argument that everybody says. When you're having a heart attack, you don't give a shit.
You can't argue if you're dead.
Right. That's the problem, you know.
They got you by the balls because you have to have some of this treatment. It's fucked.
Right.
Well, here's the fourth one on the list. Charge for medical error. So say you're in getting a gallbladder surgery and the surgeon accidentally nips your bowel.
Right.
And then they charge you for the patient's, you know, the stay you have to have during the healing process and everything comes up. You're not supposed to get charged whenever they make an error.
Yeah.
So when he nips that, they can't charge you.
I'm not sure about that. Is that really? Is that the law? I don't know.
That's what the internet's telling me. And the internet don't lie, Armand. I base everything I know off of it.
I can say it's not without condemning myself. I've done some surgeries that didn't turn out so great, and they needed another surgery. I got paid. You know, I mean,
yeah, but if some surgeries don't work out. If you were in there and you nip my bowel just because you were fucking around and not being as, you know, attentive as you could be, I don't want to argue.
Had a few too many whiskeys.
You did it, and it wasn't part of the original problem you went for. I don't care why he did it. I'm just saying, you went in there, that problem wasn't there. You caused it by maybe your ineptitude. I don't know. I'm not going to argue that. You caused it. I didn't. I'm not paying for it, is my thought.
Well, what if, now, we talked about this before, what if you have your surgery, but then you get an infection?
Now, that's different.
Okay.
I'd say that's different.
Armand, if you take your car to the mechanic and you've got your motor's blown up, so he's going to replace your motor. But when he's putting it back in, he breaks your fucking transmission. But he gives you your car back. Here you go. I mean, you are left with the choice that you have to pay for this transmission, or are you going to ask him to assume the responsibilities from his fault on that? You know what I mean? He fixed the original problem, but he fucked something else up while he was in there. That's the same thing as what Everett's saying. You know what I mean? They fixed the original problem.
See, the problem is
why is he at fault for paying for the bowel nip from the scalpel when the car shop should have to pay for the transmission?
And, I, a, lot, And I feel like a lot of the time, these at least mechanics will argue why this isn't their fault. This was going to happen. It, you know, this is, happens quite common whenever this procedure.
That's what I was about to say. There are certain things that are inherently. I mean, like I remember when we had residents at the hospital and
Yeah, but I get what you're saying, but we just have to take your word for it. You know what I mean? It's like I can't argue with my mechanic. I can't argue with my doctor. I don't know what you're telling me is true.
Well, I mean.
A lot more mechanics than there are doctors, though, too. That's the fucked up thing about it. You can go get a second opinion super easy, but going and trying to go against the doctor to another doctor, I mean, that's rare.
Would you do it if you had that depends on the surgery. If you had an elective surgery, say, for instance,
dick enlargement.
Bunionectomy.
I mean,
or penile enlargement.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Or an adidectomy.
Adidectomy.
That's cosmetic, so I don't think we've already discussed that. But
well, what's another elective surgery?
Well, I do everything in the foot is, basically. You just name it, so.
Bunion.
Yeah, bunionectomy. Okay.
Extra toe.
Okay, would you, well, yeah. That's
toectomy.
That's actually.
Tonectomy.
Polydactyly. Yeah.
The dinosaur.
Would you just go and I told you need this surgery? Would you get a second opinion?
No.
Wait a minute. Do I need the surgery or not?
That's what he's saying. He says you do.
That's what I'm asking.
But are you going to get
a second
opinion?
Would you take my word for it?
Is my foot hurting?
Yeah, I mean, Armand says your foot's hurting, and the only option is surgery. But what if another doctor, would you go seek out another doctor says, no, you could probably do this stretch and take this pill for 2 weeks and be fine.
Or wear a night splint or
Yeah, that's
get
the
an
fucked
injection.
Up part, you know, there's
you
no...
You don't know.
But would you get a second opinion, or would you take the doctor's word for it?
Fucking take the doctor's
word for
it.
Every fucking time, you take the mechanic or the doctor's word
would
for
you?
It.
Would you? Okay. Well, I already told you about dentists.
Well, because
they're all thieves.
The thing about it is...
I don't know about that.
The thing about it is if you don't take the mechanic or the doctor's recommendation in that and something does turn out and that they were right, you'll never fucking just, you'll be so pissed about it that you're like, oh fuck, my heart did explode. I guess you won't have long, a bad example. My bowels did rupture inside because the guy said I was eating a bunch of food that was bad for me and it was causing blockage and I should have stopped, and that's what he said.
What are you getting at?
Well, how about a lap band procedure? Gastric, you want to lose weight? Yeah, you have a gastric bypass or something. Would you do that without getting a second opinion?
Generally, I think the people who go get those, though, are really looking for them. You know what I mean? So they're not really looking for a second opinion. They've already got their first opinion.
They got their mind made up.
The doctor's telling them the second opinion, you know what I mean?
Think I need one of those?
How about hemorrhoids?
What about them?
All right. Would you get a second opinion if somebody said you have to have surgery? Or you think...
No, get those fuckers off.
Just depends. Well, there's different ways to get rid of hemorrhoids, too.
Hernia.
You can cut them. You can do infrared fucking explosions and whatever, where you block off the blood vessels with infrared and infrared coagulation, I think it's called.
I'm going to do it like they do a pig's nuts with rubber bands.
I guess the point is, though, you guys are saying, though, if you went, you would take the first doctor's recommendation and not get a second.
I would have to, because I don't know any better on most of those situations.
I think
that's where the common American is at right now. We can't argue what they're trying to tell us and how much they're charging us for that, because we don't fucking.
And a lot of us are too lazy.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, a lot of Americans actually think that this shit costs this much. You know what I mean? They think that this, when you go to the hospital and you receive a $4,000 or $5,000 bill for something super simple, that they think that that's normal. And that's why a lot of people are against that fucking single payer system, you know, universal health care.
What if they don't pay for it?
Americans actually think that that shit costs that much.
Well, I think the general consensus is that, you know, we're entitled to it. And if we're not paying it, who gives a shit? I think that's the problem, because what does price do? Price gives you some idea of value. If you walk into a doctor's office, there's not like a menu on there. You don't know have no idea what the guy's charging you.
It's true.
But
what's that called? That book that they have?
Yeah, and each hospital charges different
code, ICD codes. You know,
it's a master book or something like that. Each hospital has one for what they charge on every individual thing. I mean, for medicines, pills, sheets, a hot blanket, a fucking bag of water, or whatever. And each hospital is different. So you could go to one hospital and it could be $100 for an IV bag of fluids because you're dehydrated or whatever. You go to another and it could be $300 and there's nothing nobody can do about it.
It's not only the hospital. It's the same. You know, public aid pays a certain amount. Medicare pays a certain amount. Private insurance pays a certain amount. Different insurances pay different amounts.
Yeah.
Because I remember when I was working up in Waukegan, Illinois, and there was a place up there called Cherry Electronics. And those guys had the best insurance. They paid everything.
Really?
Oh, so it was like Jesse James walked in. When those guys came in, we actually had a special chart for those guys, which just meant bill the shit out of this patient.
Oh, really?
Yeah. because that was because they paid everything. And the
patient, motherfucker.
The patient. Well, the patient didn't care. He's not paying it. We didn't screw.
Of course
him.
Not.
That's the problem. Patients don't generally care because
you
pay your deductible, your $200 deductible or whatever it is. And at that point, what do I care if they charge $15,000 to my insurance company? Which is bullshit because now I had to pay super high.
Yeah, your premiums are up because the fucking treatments are up.
Well, what do you think about this? Because this happened to me routinely. And now that you know President Trump was just in Granite City, and I used to practice in Granite City, so. Little heads up for Granite City. And I had a lot of guys from the steel mill come in, and a lot of them were buddies of mine.
Uh-huh.
And since I think the statute of limitations is over, I can tell you this story. They would come in and say, I've got such and such. What? And I'd say, well,
the clout.
You know, you're, well, okay, gonorrhea of the heel, which is actually, yeah, that actually happens. I've had a couple of cases of that. Wow. Not me personally.
I've had a couple cases of that.
Heel pain, and it was gonorrhea. But they would come in and say, whatever, they had some problem, and it wasn't covered by the insurance.
Right.
But they said, well, Doc, can't you just say it's this problem? Which is, of course, misrepresentation, and you're not supposed to do that.
You're not supposed
to. But insurance pays for that. So, well, I'd say something like, well, does it hurt there? You know? Oh, yeah, it does. Fine.
There you go.
Right. Now we can, yeah, now we can do this, whatever. You bill for this, and then you don't get stuck.
Wow.
But that's just the game that's
can
played.
Can you be my doctor?
He's not a general practitioner. You don't really want him.
Yeah, I'm not a gatekeeper.
Oh. I want you to be my physician. I'm having some problems.
Oh, don't worry. I'll take,
you know,
I'll take
down care. There.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. I actually did have a guy, a buddy of mine came in and said, I got some warts.
Oh, that was a joke, Armand.
Well, since you want to hear, this
Let's
is
hear it,
this
kind
yeah.
of a, God
this
damn
is kind
it.
Of
Go
a conspiracy. Yeah, I said, well, take off your shoes. He goes, they're not on my shoe. They're not on my feet. I think I get it. Oh, okay, buddy.
Let's get out the acid.
Drop him, and I hit him with the old hyphricator. Zap, yeah. Zap, zap.
What is
oh,
it?
Oh, you hit him with that?
Yeah, the hyphricator.
Why do it that way?
You shocked his dick.
That's all I had. I'm not going to use podophyllin on him. They're pretty bad.
I'm not understanding what this entire wait.
Paul, a friend of mine. Hey, Paul.
So did
smarter than both those nerds.
You shocked his dick.
Well, it's like an electric. Yeah, it's we call it the electric needle. It's called a hyphricator, and it gives just a little zap.
And you know,
yeah, you've seen them.
No, I haven't.
It's well, for Carter's or
yeah, cauterize. Exactly.
Yeah, cauterizes wounds.
Dermatologists use it when they take off like a skin tag. They'll zap it.
Right.
That's all it is. It's not exactly pleasant when it's on your wee wee.
No shit.
And this guy had quite a few.
He's giving me a local?
Upwards of 10?
I didn't want to try it. Listen, I can't give you... I'm not going to inject that thing. I can inject a toe, but I'm not going to... I wouldn't.
Nothing phallic.
Yeah, I wouldn't presume to be a you know a urologist.
God, this is not where I thought this conversation was going today,
like
guys.
I didn't charge him.
Was, you didn't charge... Well, fuck, good guy, Armand. What are you going to do?
Why
you know?
Charge the guy?
Yeah, why bother your buddy
but
for burning his
I could have.
If anybody out there, if you're into a little bit of pain, you get some warts on your cock, you come see Armand, yes. He'll do it for free. Do yes. you? All it takes is about 100 volts to the crotch area.
All right, how about this one? Build for medical supplies. So you're admitted to the ICU, you receive services like oxygen or cardiac monitoring, and after you get discharged, you receive a bill for $15,000 for medical supplies.
That's a big one.
Whenever that shit should have been rolled in, right in with your room and all that.
I want it itemized.
I mean,
from now on, when I get
be,
a bill in the mail from a hospital,
that's pretty much what they're saying.
I want that shit itemized.
Well, I guess that's the question. RN, hey, that's an insult, Grave. RN.
He's an RN. Grave Knives is. Or former, actually. Okay. But yeah, he has been for a while.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's cool. That's fine. Anyway, what was I going to say? Oh, have you guys been in the hospital? I was going to ask you, do you guys look at the bill? And
no.
I haven't got the bill. My daughter just went to the hospital this last weekend. She had 106 fever.
Okay.
I had a splenic infarction a few years ago, and I never looked at it.
So they...
You don't know how much was it?
It was like over 20-something thousand, I believe.
How much was your daughter's
bill? I don't know. We haven't got the bill yet, but she had to have a CT scan, x-rays, bag fluids, the whole... They gave her fentanyl in the fucking ER. She's 8 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
For a... What was it? She had a fever?
She had some viral fever. It was a fever, but it was 103 when we left the house, 106 when we got to the hospital. Her head was just fucking... Doo-doo. All she could do was lay there and moan. It was a pretty bad deal, so they ended up giving her 25 is that right? Microgram?
Yeah, of fentanyl, probably for an eight-year-old. Wow.
Immediately it hit her
that
five.
Kind of pain, though?
Yeah, she was. It was bad.
Well, they worry about meningitis, I guess. Probably.
They were. Meningitis came back negative, though. So that we're good on that. Yeah, but that's what they were worried about. Yeah.
Right. So you haven't got their bill yet.
Have not got the bill yet.
I've had people come in, and they've come in with a bill. They bring it to me, and they show me. They went to the ER for a lousy ankle sprain. in which case they didn't cast them. They took an X-ray, gave him some Motrin, wrapped it up in an ace wrap, sent him home, $8,000.
Jesus Christ.
And I've seen that.
That's insane.
It's amazing. It's outrageous.
I'm in the wrong business. I mean, if I really want to take advantage of people and make money, I should be a doctor.
Or a dentist.
Graves is a CNA, not an RN. Sorry.
Good to know. All right, here's another one. Number six is the ignored warranty. So say you have a pacemaker that starts to fail and you go back to the hospital to get it replaced, and they charge you for another one. Those things are under warranty. The hospital didn't have to pay for the replacement pacemaker, yet they charge you for it.
Motherfuckers.
So yeah. That's another big one. Charge for technical problems. So whenever you have to get more than one X-ray due to a technical problem, they charge you for both of them.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
I never did that.
Let's see.
I just fire the girl that took the X-ray. That's justice.
Room overcharge. So say you have to get a private room because there's no semi-private rooms available and they charge you full price for the private room. Or they can't do that either. They have to give you the semi-private room price because you didn't ask for it or require it.
Really?
But
they'll bill you for it unless you say something.
Them. Right.
Wow.
Apparently you're not supposed to have like things like bogus fees, like oral administration fee, like the fee they charge for a nurse to bring you some Advil.
Right.
That's the here's a $50 charge for the oral administration fee to bring you some Advil.
On top of the
Advil $15.
Yeah, the $20 they charge you for the Advil.
And the $6 for the paper cup that they bring it in.
Right.
You know, Jesus.
Well, I mean, I still think all this gets back to, you know, when you don't have prices and people aren't paying, you get price distortions like this. And I don't know. I mean, in defense of the hospitals, they have to treat everybody. I told you the story about my friend that's probably got a couple hundred grand, you know, racked up in ER visits. He had a cardiac flutter. And I don't know what it was caused by. I'm not a cardiologist. My brother-in-law is. But this guy had to go to the hospital. I drove him myself three times to the ER. And I know these had to be $10,000 visits.
Right.
He had no money. He had no insurance. He had no job. They had to see him. They had to treat him. And he did get good treatment. Sent him home, and they billed him. They had to. He never paid. Now, he is paying now. He has a pretty good job, but they are limited by what they can take. I think it's 10% of his check or whatever. It's 15 maybe.
Right.
So he pays like $200 a month, a week, whatever it is.
That's fucking like crazy.
But that's all they can get.
He'll pay
for the rest of his life.
I had a buddy who sold knee insurance to his friend. So my buddy had medical insurance. And his buddy had a bad knee and needed a knee replacement surgery. So, mm-hmm. you know, he figured out what it was going to cost. He ended up giving my friend like $2,000. So my friend gave him his ID and his medical card. He went to the doctor, full course of doctors, everything, the whole nine.
They didn't check his ID. I mean, his driver's license and everything?
He gave him his license.
I know, but he looked like him.
Yeah. They were pretty close in size and look. You know what I mean? Size, okay. Look, the whole thing. So, anyways, he goes through, gets the knee surgery. The bill comes back to my friend. My friend's like, I'm not paying that. I didn't get knee surgery. They take him all the way to court. The insurance, the hospital, everything goes all the way to court.
Because it wasn't him.
My friend lifts up his pant leg and shows him his knee and was like, "Look at my knee. Do I look like I had knee surgery?" And they dropped the case right there.
That's some
bullshit.
He
didn't have to pay for it. He made $2,000 off selling his insurance to his friend. His friend got a knee replacement surgery for $2,000 that would have cost him, what, $10, $12, $15?
We have to state that we don't advocate this to our listeners.
No, but there's some workarounds. I mean, if they're going to be fuckers and charge you fucking all the... Fuck that shit. You know what I mean?
Well, we talked about the...
Why live within the system when you can manipulate it and exploit it?
That's breaking the law, sir.
Yeah, well,
I mean, that's a little bit your
fucking tomato tomato.
That's
you know?
A little bit outside what I was talking about.
I think you're probably better off taking one of those surgical vacations to Thailand or something.
And, yeah, probably.
Yeah, fucking who can afford that? That's more than $2,000.
No, it's more than $2,000. It sure is.
You know what I mean?
Well, speaking of which, I mean, you might be better off not even having a surgery because I've read a study about knee arthroscopes. And they basically did a study. They had the two control groups and the people that had, you know, they went in with the shavers and the nippers and the probes and everything and mm-hmm. cleared out all this terrible cartilage and meniscoscopies and all this stuff. And they, again, what the people that got those surgeries and then the people just got basically, they put made a little incision and washed it out with saline. They were just as good.
Really?
Those patients were just as happy.
Jessica says, somebody has to eat that fee, though. And you're absolutely right. Somebody has to eat that fee. It's the motherfuckers that's charging us 100 times what it costs to do anything in the hospitals who's got to eat that fee. So do I feel bad about them? Fuck no, I do not.
Okay.
Well, let's swerve a little bit here and get your opinion on what is some modern medical quackery. I mean, obviously, quackery in the old days was some snake oil.
Podiatry.
Podiatry is definitely one of my top.
They're getting locked up in less than a week. Wasn't me, Joey.
No, but what do you got these days that's kind of a quackery?
I don't, well, I mean, obviously the big one is chiropractic.
I was going to say chiropractic.
I am not on the side with that. I have been to a chiropractor multiple times.
And bone magic?
They are fucking. It's a beautiful thing to go into the chiropractor.
Sure, witch doctors.
Fucked up, and your back, you can't move. You lay down on the thing. The guy gives you a little bit of heat. Fucking moves you around a little bit. Crack. You get up. You can walk.
You know
you don't know what it's like to go in, to hobble in somewhere and walk out of somewhere with no pain. I'm with it. I'll pay the $40 every time. I don't care who calls a chiropractor a quack. They work.
Ooh, yeah. I was waiting for it. I wouldn't even listen.
I don't care.
The only thing I have about that is, you know, when we've all driven by a chiropractor's office, mm-hmm. got asthma. We can cure that.
Yeah, come on.
I'm not into that. You know, I mean, if you listen,
do you know a chiropractor can cure? They can tell whether or not a baby has colic, and they can cure colic in a baby.
There again, you're gonna have to convince me on that one.
Tell me about this magic.
So if you hold a baby up by its leg, and it turns its head the opposite way, upside down by its leg, it turns its head the opposite way. It's got colic. If it turns it the same way as the leg
Bullshit.
You're holding, look it up.
Bullshit.
Look it up. I'm not fucking lying.
That doesn't sound like chiropractic to me.
That doesn't sound like science.
But that's how they assess. And then a chiropractor can do like his little mumbo jumbo on the back and fucking fix the way their stomach is fucked up.
If you spit straight up in the air and it lands on your face instead of your chest, that means you have cancer.
Did you say the world is flat?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Uh-huh.
Acupuncture, that's another.
It's the same deal. Ancient Chinese secret.
I think acupuncture has its place, too. I really do. Now,
it's still an art and not a science.
No, it might be an art. Though? It might be a fucking art. But this lady says it's free just to have someone walk on your back. Well, that's not it. You have to have them. See, chiropractors know, like, the entire skeletal and muscular system, so they can tell which muscles are sore.
Hopefully nervous system,
which
too.
One muscle is tense, is causing a bone to be out of place and moved, and that's what's causing you pain. They can relieve the tension in that muscle, pop the bone.
So what you're saying is they really paid attention to the fucking knee bones connected to the leg bones.
There it is. I mean, but in that case, what else any other doctor doing? It's not like they're innovating anything. I mean, for the most part, no doctors are innovating. Yeah, they're just doing what they're told from medical school.
The problem is it's done by feel. You know what I mean? I feel like this is what should be done to fix this problem.
Oh, so I would go as far to say a chiropractor is more intuitive than a fucking physician then, in my opinion.
I don't want intuitive. For the most part, I want analytics.
Oh, you don't want someone to be able to say, oh, fuck, man, I think I know what's wrong with you.
No, that's called analytics. That's done by, like, cause and effect, not like,
Exactly, cause and effect.
Method, yeah.
Cause and effect. The cause is this fucking muscle is tensed up.
I think.
Contorting your bone in the back, if I can release this pressure, and you'll be fine. Effect, you feel better.
There is a study I do remember reading about with the chiropractors that, and this is what they did. They hired several people to walk into a chiropractor's office, and they gave them specific symptoms, one of them being diabetes, one of them being a heart attack, a stroke. I mean, they had these symptoms that, you know, were obvious, very serious problems.
Uh-huh.
They sent them to chiropractors, and I think like 9 out of 10, the chiropractor says, oh, yeah, I can help you. They didn't get the diagnoses. I mean, very few. I think like 1 out of 10, they actually said, I think you're having a heart attack. You got to go to the emergency room.
Really?
Whereas the other one said, oh, yeah, I can adjust you and make that better. So I agree with you. You know, in their small, that's like me being a podiatrist and telling you I can help your heart. I can't. I don't know the first thing about it.
No, that's a fair point.
I know my chambers are in it, but I don't, you know.
Right, that's a fair point.
I think sometimes they're out of, you know, their actual range of expertise, and that's the problem I have with a chiropractor. But I've sent people, I mean, if people had back problems, at patients of mine, I said, I had chiropractors. I said, sure, go see them.
My collarbone was out of place one time. I don't know how I did. I did it sleeping on my arm like this somehow, and that shit hurt right here for like a fucking week straight. I went to the chiropractor, jerked my arm down. 30 seconds later, felt fine.
But that's still musculoskeletal, or at least...
Right. Well,
I'm talking about people with systemic problems.
These
guys said, we can help you by adjusting you. And
then that person's an asshole and an idiot.
Yeah, but it happened a lot. It wasn't just one guy. It happened. They sent, like, I don't know how many.
Right, but that's not the whole of chiropractory
study.
Now is not saying that they're the healing shit they're not. Mostly people go there for their back.
I
mean,
hope so.
If they're telling people that they can make them breathe better, they must have a reason for that. Like, they can loosen your skeletal system and muscles to make it open. I mean, there's got to be
a reason.
I'm not a fucking doctor.
They don't want to let a patient go. That's the reason. It's like, well, you know.
That's fair.
That's human nature. You know, yeah, I'm having trouble breathing, Doc. Yeah, well, you may have emphysema, but I can help that with an adjustment. I don't know. That's
like
not medicine to me.
I'm having bad luck. Can you pop my back and fix it? You know what I mean?
I don't know. I agree. I mean, it's like it hurts right here, Doc. My back, right in the small of my back. And the guy takes an X-ray and says, well, I can see that you got a transverse, you know, the vertebra.
Yeah, that's
I
not
can see
quackery.
It. Right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, I'm talking about something else, though. That study told me that they don't, you know, they don't keep, like I said, I see them, they can cure asthma, they can cure headaches, Maybe. I don't know.
Neck adjustment, better blood
erectile
flow.
Erectile dysfunction, you know.
Better blood flow.
I don't know.
If you got muscles that are tense all the time and they're constricting arteries and stuff in certain places.
More of a nerve, I would think. But
something.
actually, Richard, I used to date women when I just got out of podiatry school. I only dated the gals with the worst hammer toes or whatever, just to do surgery on them, and then I dump them. Yeah, that's the kind of guy I was.
You fucking rock, man.
Yeah,
I love
you. Yeah, that was bad. I was
Jesus
bad.
Christ, Armand.
How did he know that?
What about Laetril? What do you know about Laetril? Vitamin B17.
Steve McQueen tried it. Yeah, I think it's basically Laetril is cyanide.
Well,
there's cyanide in it.
Yeah.
A very small dose.
That's what supposedly kills the cancer cell, though.
Yeah, it's in such a way that only those cells that are deprived of oxygen are the ones that are ingesting the cyanide, therefore killing them.
It somehow affects the cell membrane.
There's an enzyme in it that locks straight onto oxygen deficient cells, are cancer cells.
And I think it breaks down the cell membrane or whatever, and the thing collapses or whatever. That's the theory. But yeah, that's where Steve McQueen went down to Mexico City and got the coffee enemas and the. The Laetril.
If anybody's really interested about it, do some research on Laetril. It's banned by the FDA, but a lot of people really think it's the miracle cancer.
Yeah, it's like almonds and the seeds of pears. Peach pits.
Cherry pits.
Avocado,
well, listen,
I think, too.
You guys want to get pissed off about something. My Bete Noire, Black Beast, is the fucking FDA.
Oh, yeah.
Those guys kill more people than mosquitoes, man.
Oh,
are you kidding me?
Let's hear it, buddy.
Oh,
I'm with it.
Well, here.
Yeah, fuck them. I'm with you, Armand. Right. Let me hear why.
Okay, I'll tell you why.
More inflammatory than inflammatory.
Here we go. Yeah, this is going to be inflammatory. This is going to be a flame. You know, we always hear about the thalidomide crisis. Remember the thalidomide crisis? This is the FDA saving all our lives.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it was back in the 60s, early 60s. Thalidomide was this drug that pregnant women used for morning sickness.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, they're coming out with these paddle babies. Basically, that's what they called them. They had little, you know, they had no arms, no leg.
T-Rex.
You've seen pictures of them? They called them paddle babies because their extremities were, they had no extremities.
Right.
Well, they figured out the FDA, of course, figured out, thank God, figured out it was this thalidomide, and they took it off the market. Okay, that's one success. Now, I would say if you take like Sceptra, which is a very effective antibiotic, they held that back for like 7 years. Beta blockers. Which, I don't know, 7-8 years, to quote, test them. How many people died because these things were kept off the market?
Yeah, but the opposite
didn't they have
side
to make them
is,
sure make sure that they were safe though.
Right, that's the opposite side.
That's correct. That's a good point. You make sure they're safe, but they not only say the FDA now does not say it only has to be safe; it has to be efficacious, which is bullshit.
Which means it has to work too. It means it has to work,
too. Yeah, that's the problem.
Why is that bullshit that we want our drugs to work?
Yeah, because you really probably can't tell till you start taking them.
What about, like...
Hang on. I don't get why you're mad about this. So you're mad because we want our drugs to work to do what they say they're going to do?
Well, it depends. They could be not as... but they have to be as efficacious as you say they are. And that's a problem. If it helps you only 20% instead of 30%, you may not get on the market. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
I get it that they have to be safe, that it's not Laetril and may kill you because it's cyanide. But if we say, well, look, our studies show the migraine's gone down 80%. Well, our studies say it's only 60%, so fuck you. You can't put it on the market. That's bullshit.
And the FDA controls all of this.
Controls all that. And they're way back. They're backlogged so far. I mean, you can imagine how many new drugs are coming out all the
time. Right, yeah. There's a lot of money in the industry, of course.
It's all backlogged. These idiot bureaucrats, and most of them aren't even doctors.
They can go fuck themselves, really.
Absolutely. The FDA is what we got to get rid of. Yeah. In fact, they just had...
Next week.
They just passed... to protect people up till now, up till March, I think they just finally passed it, that the desperate patients can use anything. You got cancer, stage 4. You've got 2 months to go. You should be taking dope. You should be taking marijuana,
for
CBD, and SEACT. But listen, you want to try some experimental drug. Who's the FDA to tell you can't do it?
Now, remember what you were telling me about pain meds, how they're limiting everybody and limiting the doctors and coming down on them hard and stuff
absolutely.
Like that? Now, is that still the case in terminal cases like that? Are you allowed to dope up a patient toward the right end of their, like, you can really fucking give them some good, you know?
Well, which is why the market for them is, I mean, these cancer patients, a lot of these guys are paying for their families because what they basically do is they'll take a cancer patient who needs Dilaudid, legitimately needs it.
Right.
Take him all over the country and say, well, look, I can't get a hold of my MD. I need some medication. Here's my, you know, they have a form or whatever or some documentation that they're...
And they just go and get prescription after prescription after prescription?
That's what they do. They say, listen, I ran out, I lost mine or whatever, and I have to get it, and they get it, and then they sell it for whatever, $50 a pop or whatever on the street. And that's what they're using these poor cancer patients for.
Who's doing this?
Well, people that are trying to make money off, you know, these people that are terminal.
So they're driving them around the country to get more...
Right.
Think about it. You're a con man type of guy, and you come across a scam. All I need, man, is a fucking terminal cancer patient. I can drive them around to every doctor's office in a 50-mile radius. There's fucking 90 of them.
Oh, all over the country.
I get that allotted, pay the $25 copay, and I could sell that shit for $300.
Sure.
Yeah, but wait a minute. Hang on now. When you go into the ER, you sign that piece of paper saying that your medical history can be...
pulled.
I guess coincided with other so other doctors have access to this. They share that there's a form you sign for that authorization of sharing that
you have documentation that,
So I mean if the guy did that and went to every doctor's office in a 50 mile radius, there'd be a trace of this.
So what, he's terminal? What are you going to do?
Well, what they basically do is they don't go 50. What they'll do is they'll take them on a trip.
Okay.
They'll go to like Denver or whatever and say, listen, I left my medication at home or whatever. And then they may go to Albuquerque, New Mexico or whatever and say the same thing. And by the time it gets in the computer, you can hit them up.
Sure.
You know.
A few times.
Right. All you need is about five. You know, if you get five for 30, 1,500 times, God only knows, 50 bucks a pop.
That's pretty good.
75 grand.
Yeah.
Split it. So
easy money. And I think I could be doing that with multiple people. You know what I mean?
But as far as doctors go, like I told you guys, when I came out of school, which was 91, the dogma was, how much pain medication do you give a patient? Well, enough to get rid of his pain. Now you can't do that anymore. Now you have to, if you don't get like 50% relief of symptoms or more within 12 weeks, you have to send them to, you know, toxicology to see how much are they taking it? Are they selling it?
Their peak and trough, if their body's metabolizing it, right?
And if that's, and all that, if that doesn't work out, or if it does and they're not getting better, you got to send them to a pain clinic. You know, there's these guidelines now, and if you don't do this and you just keep giving them medication, which every doctor's had to do it, because believe me, when you got patients in your waiting room and somebody calls up and says, Doc, my foot's killing me. I just had surgery six weeks ago, mm-hmm. and it's still killing me. You want to get, here's 20, fine. You know, it's the weekend, it's Friday night, you know, I got to get out of here.
Yeah, leave me the fuck alone.
Right, give me my doctor's visit fee. Here's your fucking fee for this or that. Get out of here.
I don't even charge. You know, it's on the phone. It used to be you can call them in. Now you can't even do that anymore. Now they actually have to come in.
That's kind of a good thing. It's a hassle, but, you know, in a way it's a good thing.
That I don't have a problem with so much, but now they're really clamping down on that, and that's a big deal, which, you know what I say, legalize the goddamn medicine, legalize drugs, and... You won't have heroin, you know, you won't have that, because that's what basically happens.
Yeah, you won't have heroin addicts trying to rip off people for their pain pills if you could legalize it. That industry would be impacted.
The more of the problem is the heroin dealers are giving these poor, you know, when the doctor says, that's it, you can't get any more, they're going to take my license, I can't give you any more pain medication, then you're not going to spend $12-$15 for a Vicodin on the street. Heroin's cheaper.
And more effective.
And but the problem is there's no consistency. You could get
I know you deal a
very nice level of it. Your heroin is very high quality.
It's not
yours
bad.
Isn't so good.
I'm in it for the money, of course.
So I have to take more of yours, in which
I'm kind of like Eric Stoltz from Pulp Fiction, and Eric's just like your normal street guy.
I can see you watching the Three Stooges
from the Grand Mountains.
Eating cereal.
Hold hands, you lovebirds.
I love that episode.
That's
too.
A good one. Bangs that bird cage on his head. Yeah.
Emil Sitka. It's great. It's one of my favorites. But you turned me down. It's before I read the papers. Now I accept.
Goddamn, Armand, you got a memory on you too. That's exactly what
Three Stooges.
He said.
Are you kidding?
Well, let me let's flip again. This is something you talked about the other day. Whenever we were talking about the show beforehand. In the competition in medical research and how they don't share their research, they try to be the first one to come out with it, the rivalries here that really isn't good for medicine, it's more good for the individual. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that was a big deal back in the 90s when it was AIDS was the big thing.
Right.
And they had these factions. You had Europe and then you had the United States. And they were in it was actually real competition. And you would think that, you know, let's share everything so we can move forward. Well, it wasn't like that. It was much more of a competition back then, and they were actually withholding, if not giving out false information sometimes.
Jesus.
To set back the other teams and stuff. I don't know if that really happens all that much, but that was pretty prevalent in the early 90s.
I mean,
with AIDS,
that's fucking gnarly.
That's
That's a pretty bad one. Doesn't happen anymore. But as far as what other quackery? I mean, anything besides chiropractic? I don't.
No. How do you feel?
My holistic medicine.
Yeah, any holistic or homeopathic stuff, I'm not into. Like herbal medicine, you know what I mean? That's. I think that's crazy. It's still. It's an art. It's like this powder should fix you. Should take three of these powders and call me in the morning. That's not really science to me.
That's just modern medicine. That's the same thing a doctor does. Take three of this fucking powder, compress into a pill, and call me in the morning.
The difference is the studies and trials that have been performed on actual medicine versus
most of these actual medicines are derived from
deer penis.
No, not from fucking deer dick, but you get what I'm saying. Natural, you know, the chemically made from natural.
I'm on the fence on that one, kind of, because, you know, I've seen some, you know, because there's always, you go to enough of these conferences and they've got all this new miracle drug or whatever, and they do the studies, but they've done the studies, you know, and or the doctor that's lecturing on it has done the study. We were talking about hammer toes for this talk. We were just talking
about hammer toes,
socially talking about it. But when I came out of school, you do a hammer toe and you put a K-wire, Kirshner wire in there, just a basic wire. It cost me 50 cents. And I don't know what the hospital charged, but even then, it's not much. Now they have these like clips and all these other things. And basically, nobody has proven to me they do a better job, but they're like $900 a piece.
Well, they do a better job of making more money.
Absolutely.
And then there it is.
Right. And a lot of these drugs are the same thing. They're white paper research. And listen, I can't tell you how many times I've had people come through. We've cured toenail fungus with a topical. Okay?
Right.
Bullshit.
Then I
read the study. It's like 16% got better. That's not curing anything.
I mean, you could say that's within margin of error. You know what I mean? Yeah, 16 people, their body just, you know, won the fight.
I'd probably have better luck with, you want to put something on chewing, use a Vicks VapoRub. I'd have better luck with that.
No shit.
Yeah. That works pretty well.
Unlike an infected toe?
For fungal nails, huh?
What's the thought behind that?
I don't know. What the menthol, I guess, that's in it or whatever is it, the agent that's in it, kills the fungus.
You fucking got me.
And, you know, this is the same problem, and you guys are going to hate me for this, is marijuana as a medicine. It's the same thing to me as the snake oil. There's not enough proof at this point for exactly what part of marijuana does exactly what to what.
That's because they won't let them fucking study, and all the good studies that have been done are proving good
shit. They honestly should, but that's my problem with
it. CBD does good stuff.
So they say.
Well, that's the conundrum, unfortunately.
It's not THC.
If it's alternative.
I smoke a lot of marijuana, right? And it ain't never helped me fucking have a...
Heavy user.
Heavy user, if you want to call it that. It's never stopped a headache. It's never made my back feel better.
Well, how do you know that? You can't prove a negative. It's hard to... Maybe you would have had a headache had you not smoked the dope.
I'll give you that.
No, I'll tell you this. That's a completely false, because I've had a... What about when you're hungover? When you're drinking one night, you drink a fuck ton of... you throw up. The next morning you get up, you're hungover as fuck.
You think marijuana fixes that for you?
Marijuana is a medicine that morning. I promise you that. No, because you can't eat. Your stomach's upset. You're throwing up. Your head's pounding. You smoke you go smoke a good fat doobie
I'll
to your
you
head.
That.
You get some grub in you. Your head fucking relaxes. You're not pounding anymore. Yes.
That is one thing I'll
medicinal.
Agree with you about.
Medicinal.
Calm down, sir. You fucking filibustering
fuck. Inflammatory.
I know. That is the one thing I'll give you about marijuana.
Thank God we have
it temperance. It can make you hungry. So if you're having chemotherapy and it's killed your appetite, smoke some weed and that's going to more than likely give you an appetite. That's about the only medicinal quality I can think of.
Now,
I've ever experienced.
That's the problem, though, with unfortunately, with alternative medicines such as marijuana. It could be a panacea. It could cure cancer, theoretically.
Right.
I have read some pretty compelling papers that say that it causes cell apoptosis, which is basically cell explodes, kills itself. But nobody's going to go to the lengths to have these studies because there is no profit in it, you know. Merck and Glaxo, they're not going to do it because it's a weed, you know. We all know where you can get that. So that's the problem. So I don't know if it gives...
What reason do they have? Whatever they can make this pill that they can sell for $100 a pill.
Contrarily, they have much better reason to do the chemo and to suppress any studies that say it works.
Right. And when any asshole can grow weed in their closet of even, you know, moderate quality, why, you know what I mean? They don't want that.
Of course they don't want that.
If there is a real medicinal value, I don't know that there is, but at least if you can be fooled into it, there's value there too.
Well, we admit though that a lot of what does cure or a lot of these great results from what we would consider kind of voodoo medicine is probably placebo, but placebos work too.
Hell yeah, they
it's
do.
It's true.
I mean,
mind over matter and all that.
Absolutely. I remember, now this is a true story. I remember when I was in residency, and I was watching my residency director in his office in Chicago, and this little girl came in, 8 years old, had warts all over her foot. Terrible, bad warts. Never get rid of these damn things. And the doc goes, watch this. And he goes, he got the biggest needle he could get, like a horse needle, and a big syringe. I mean, these things that we squirt out the foot with. You never inject somebody.
Sure, sure.
Too painful, like a horse needle. So he walks in there and goes, I'm going to give you 2 weeks. I'm going to see you back. If they're not gone, I got to put this in your foot.
And just that suggestion alone was enough?
Wow.
They went away.
Holy
scared
shit.
I really wish, like,
could you bet? I mean, I had some sort of worked. I saw it.
Diagnostic time machine where I could go back in and study that case specifically, because I'd really love to know the mechanism there.
I don't know. The fear kicked up, because the thing is, warts are indolent. Your body just doesn't recognize it as a foreign body, or it just doesn't want to kick it out.
Right.
But for whatever reason, that, when they got her, that girl was terrified.
I heard that I've heard cases of people that have like a wart on their hand or something, and then they get a tattoo on their arm.
That was me. I told you about that.
Is that right?
Yeah. So
is that where I got that from?
That was
maybe too much medical marijuana. Maybe forget where that story came from.
So I had a pretty big wart on my thumb. I'd had for a few years, and the entire tip of my index finger had wart growing over the tip of it. Well, I was down in Memphis one time. We decided to get tattooed, and I got this tattoo on my arm here.
Lovely.
And within a month's time after getting that, both warts had disappeared.
Well, I think, because a tattoo does...
Your
skin system, wants to kick it out. Yeah,
Your body's going to heal that. That's what it does. All the healing properties down to
that's exactly what it does. Your body wants to kick that ink out. Mm-hmm. And so I can see where you'd have a reaction, gets in your bloodstream.
But again, I don't consider that to be scientific. That's anecdotal.
Right.
And I don't buy anecdotal.
All medicine is anecdotal. Believe me, I can do the same surgery. I've done the same surgery on one foot and another foot. It worked great on one foot. The other foot was terrible. It was a horrible
anecdotal
failure. So everything's kind of anecdotal. I mean, believe me, medicine itself, you of all people should know.
Fair enough.
Although there is some hard science usually to back up what you're doing. Now, we also talked about how doctors, the famous people, the doctors killed through the years.
I was just getting ready to say that. People who were killed in their doctor's care, like, for instance, Joan Rivers.
Michael Jackson.
Yeah, what happened to her?
I don't know exactly. I know she was working. There was a, it was a, what do they call it? Whenever elective surgery, she went to elective cosmetic surgery.
Cosmetic, of course.
And either they nick something or whatever happens. They put her into a coma and she just never came out of it.
Wow. Well, that happened to Jeff Chandler. I don't know if anybody remembers this guy. He's a pretty good actor, big, good looking guy.
What was he in?
He was in, the one that killed him was Merrill's Marauders, which in 1962.
Oh, good Lord, man. Nobody knows this guy.
Nobody knows that, Armand.
Yeah, but
this guy was born in 1918, died in 1961.
But in his day, he was a pretty popular actor. He's like the Tom Cruise of the late 50s.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, he makes Merrill's Marauders, hurts his back, decides not to go to a chiropractor, which may have been a mistake. They said, well, we'll fix you up.
Get him on
the operating table, nick an artery. The guy needed like 60 pints of blood. Finally just bled out and died. So they killed him.
Jesus.
I think Jeffrey Hunter died like that, too. Fell down a flight of stairs. Remember him? The original Captain Pike?
Yeah, Captain Pike from Star Trek. Yeah.
Jeffrey Hunter. Mm-hmm. He was the guy that was in the pilot.
The cage.
Fell down a flight of stairs. I think they botched his surgery, and he died on the operating table.
You're going to have that. There was President Arthur who died?
James Garfield.
Or Garfield, that's right.
Absolutely.
And he got shot, and they were rooting around like with no anesthetic or no gloves on or anything, just for their fingers looking around for the bullet. End up puncturing his liver with their fingers.
Yeah, they killed the guy. Interesting thing about that was they called in Alexander Graham Bell, who had this like metal detector to find the bullet, and it would have worked, but he had metal box springs in his mattress.
Oh, and they were reading ones from under.
Yeah, messed everything up, so they couldn't find the bullet. So he just kept grabbing at him and everything, finally killed the guy after like 3 months.
Jesus.
Well, this guy wasn't killed by his doctor, but he was...
Basically.
About. Wasn't killed by his doctor, but he was killed by practicing medicine on himself, trying to do a...
His scrimshaw.
Yeah, Governor Morris.
One of our founding fathers. Very intelligent guy from New York, I believe.
He wasn't very intelligent, Armand, based on what he got caught.
He can be intelligent in certain areas, and then, tell him what he did.
So he was trying to scrape out a blockage in his urinary tract with a piece of whalebone, and he ended up giving himself an infection and died from it.
Yeah, so...
So sticking a,
scrape the cheese out of his dick with a whalebone.
Yeah.
No, you know what?
What could go wrong?
Yeah. Exactly right, Armand.
Well,
whatever. What about the people that smoke pot? Sorry, this is going back to that. What about the people that smoke pot for epilepsy and that have like the
Parkinson's
and the drastic improvements immediately that makes?
I personally haven't seen that. If that's true, fucking awesome. And again,
you haven't seen that in your clinic?
Would you take Armand's word? Armand, have you seen that?
I've read some stories. It's a dopamine agonist, supposedly.
That's beautiful. Does it work on every person?
No, but that's what I'm just saying. No medicine works on every person.
Yeah, I mean, redheads can't have anesthesia.
I'm not saying that medical marijuana is a myth. I'm just saying
medical
I personally have never seen anything that quote-unquote drug can do that I would consider medicinal. You know what I mean? It's not strong enough. Weed is not strong. It's just not.
Well, but you have a pretty...
Even if you concentrate it.
On a scale of 1 to 10, what is your trust in doctors just generally?
I would go to a doctor for anything. I'm not afraid of doctors. I enjoy
low.
A dentist. I'm not...
I'm just saying, it sounds like you have pretty, you know, your
pretty
trust,
high trust in doctors?
Yeah, as opposed to, you know, the
Yeah,
you
I'm
know,
not...
The,
I don't, I'm not going to go to the witch doctor down the corner. I'd rather go to somebody who spent a majority of their time being trained in a system, whether or not everyone trusts that system. It's a system.
That's the thing.
Developed.
What if you had cancer?
I would definitely go to a doctor. I'm not going
you
to.
You wouldn't try any of these? You wouldn't try the CBD oil? You wouldn't try Essiac?
Yeah, you know,
I would.
I probably would, as long as it didn't directly interfere with what the plan my doctor had was.
What if he tells you it will?
Well, then I probably wouldn't do it. I mean,
you don't tell him to go fuck himself?
No. Why am I going to tell the guy?
Not so many words.
Who, by all measure, is the expert I should be seeking out advice from? Who's telling
me? Yeah, but what do we talk about? Okay, if you ask him a question, say what? Okay, I have stage 3 pancreatic cancer. Okay.
Okay.
And you say, doctor, what's my, you know, what's the success rate on this? By success to them, that means living a year. That's successful.
Yeah, we're not talking about curing or
right. What's the cure rate?
Well,
that's zero.
If I'm looking down 2 months, then a year looks pretty successful to me too.
But you wouldn't try this other stuff.
At that point,
could cure you.
Okay, if I'm completely terminal at this point, and I've only got 2 months left, yeah, I probably would. I'd be starting to eat any fucking thing I can get my hands on.
Okay, what if there was an experimental drug that was going to be administered by, say, University of Chicago or something, but it's not accepted by the FDA?
And it's experimental. You're part of a human trial.
I assume at that point I'm doing all kinds of fucking research.
Absolutely.
And you don't have anything to lose at that point.
Well,
my point is, as a rational person, voodoo. It's voodoo. You know what I mean? I'm a rational person. I don't want to just try. I don't want to be a guinea pig.
You're fucking high.
Yeah, well. You want to be a guinea pig? Feel free.
As a doctor that has seen it happen, I'm going to tell you, I think going to the, you know, you want to die, go to the hospital. I really think that. I mean, they kill people left and right. They killed my grandmother. All of us, she had no symptoms. She goes to the hospital for something totally different. Oh, you got a 90% blockage in your heart. She got an infection in the hospital and died. This woman was 74 and never had any, you know.
Probably would have been fine for some years less, right?
Yeah, that doesn't mean you're, that's not a death sentence.
I mean, you don't know. You don't know exactly.
Of course, that's anecdotal too.
Exactly.
But it happens over and over and over. I treated the mayor of Waukegan. The same thing happened to this poor guy. The Armenian guy, he said, I'm going to go get and get checked out. They saw an occlusion in the heart. And both I and the doctor I was working with said, you know, I wouldn't do it. Yeah, they want to do it. They want to do a bypass. He died on the table. You know.
Jesus.
It happens all the time, I'm telling you. Now, if you got a heart attack and you go to the ER,
seems like
go
it's,
to the ER,
it's the,
or a stroke or something like diabetes, you know, get those treated by all means. But a lot of this stuff, I'm telling you, they put you in the hospital. That's where you get infections, super bugs.
I don't know. It seems like, and again, this is the way that it goes with the conspiracy crowd. The very unlikely thing is what I'm holding on to.
There are doctors on video that have admitted that chemotherapy does not work.
There are athletes who have admitted on video that they cheat during their game. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter.
But here's
it's a minority.
Here's the thing, though. No, because every doctor gives chemo does get a profit from it.
Okay.
So that of course, that's a perverse
Every
incentive.
Doctor that gives anything, like a pill out, gets a profit for them. That's the idea.
That's what we're talking about.
That's the problem with medicine.
The whole medical fuckery is because of this is the shit that's fucked up
around. But you can't separate
here.
It out. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, chemotherapy, like, of course they make money on that. You're making it as a point. When they make money off of every little thing they do, that's the business.
Listen, this is a true story also. I was working at a hospital, and we used to do all our surgery. It was a great hospital, but they turned into a cancer clinic. Now all they do is treat cancer.
Right.
One of the anesthesiologists used to do all our anesthesia for us. He was the admitting doctor, and I saw him like a year or two after because they didn't see podiatry anymore. And I said, hey, doc, how you doing over there? He said, they fired me. I said, what for? Well, apparently somebody came in. They were in stage 4, hopeless, and he said, I don't think we can help you. Go home. Get your affairs in order, you know.
Honesty.
Right. They fired him because, listen, we help everybody. Nobody's hopeless. And they fired the guy because he told the truth.
I mean, I could see their point of view. You know what
well,
I mean? We're here as
truth.
A business. Your
Absolutely.
Job is to
that's
render services.
That's the fucking
services.
Problem. Medical industry should not be
that's
a
what I'm saying. That distorts
for-profit business.
It shouldn't, but it is. I mean, what do you expect? These guys have overhead. You know what I mean? I'm not going to come in here and be like,
You're trying to tell me their profit margin is not enough to cover anything like that, that they have to increase
why do you
the price
the
of drugs by 5,500%?
No, I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying I get totally why they'd be like, yeah, you're fired. We're running a business here, which you're hired to fucking render services that we can bill for, and you're turning away customers. I'm sorry, what your practice is not what our practice is.
You want
to
know what a big problem also is that...
What if it was your business? Wouldn't you be pissed?
I agree with you, but I'm just saying that kind of contradicts your statement because...
Well, I'm a contradictory kind of guy.
Well, when you start introducing profit into it, you're not, you know, that distorts the medical aspects of it.
Right. Are you there to help people or are you there to make money?
Right. It's very
hard. Which is it?
You can't have one without the. You can't continue as a business to help people if you're not making money. Nobody's going to sit around all day long out of the kindness of their heart and do that. You know what I mean? I'm not going to spend 12 hours out of my day doing cancer help on people.
I'm not saying, listen. Look, man, I'm not saying that they shouldn't make money. I'm just saying that they shouldn't be millionaires for fucking giving people a pill.
I disagree. If they're the only ones who know how to do it, I mean, that's
the
way it
works. It's ineffective. That's what I'm telling you.
It's ineffective, then
it's
a scam.
If they save your life, of course they should be paid, whether they save it or not. I mean, if they use all these methods that have worked over and over. But when you're talking about chemotherapy and you're talking about success by weeks, granted, that's precious, but still, you're going to go broke. Is it worth putting that financial burden on your family or even
case
your
by
insurance
case basis.
Company?
To me, would a couple extra weeks be worth some money that I have? I don't know. Depends on how much money I have that I might be leaving to my family and how much that time is worth, what kind of state of mind I'm in to be able to spend that time. I don't know. It's a case-by-case basis.
Absolutely. But I think a lot of these people, I don't think they tell you that when you come in. And say, listen, if everything goes really well, if everything's great, you'll live not 3 months but 14 weeks. Well, huh? You know, I mean, and that's
what their 90% success rate is. That means that they're giving 90% of their patients 2 more weeks.
Or whatever, a month, whatever, 2 or 3, whatever. That's a big deal, which I guess if it's a week or two, but still,
if you're
worth
$100,000, that's the service you're buying. You know what I mean? If that's the best, like the medical industry can offer, and that's the standard, I'm the best at this, and I can give you a couple more weeks.
But I don't think they're honest with you, Everett, because I remember my mother came back from her treatment, and I knew that it was hopeless. And I don't give a shit. I don't know what they were telling her. I told her I'd try the CBD oil. I wanted her to do that. I don't want to take that stuff. Well, I'm just a dumb podiatrist, but I don't care what that oncologist tells you.
Yeah.
I think the guy's full of shit, and he's making a lot of money off you.
Fuck yeah.
I'm your son. I want you to get better. He doesn't give it. I mean, I guess
doesn't,
he does, but he gets paid regardless.
Shit.
That's my point. That's my.
I just can't wait till we get to the future where we got the pods that you can step in that can completely diagnose you and fix you. You know what I'm talking
about? The suicide pods. Aren't those even better?
Those are even better. That's a little bit different, but I guess.
How do you feel about doctor assisted suicide, Armand?
Well, there again, we're if you're a cogent person and you still have your brain and it's like you're in absolute horrible pain all the time, I don't have a problem with it. The problem is when you start giving that power to other people, such as your current or ex-wife. That has a girlfriend while you're laying.
Well, we got that right now. Pull the plug.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? But
Terry
I'm saying
Schiavo
like.
Terry Schiavo comes to.
Yeah, but I'm talking like you don't really want to.
Contracting Jack Kevorkian, for instance.
Yeah.
If I'm 50 years old and I'm depressed.
Yeah, right. That's
can I get Kevorkian to come over? Should that be allowed?
That's the problem.
Should it be allowed if you're like an 18-year-old girl and your boyfriend cheats on you with your best friend and you want to commit suicide? Should that be allowed?
I think it should be allowed.
You think that a depressed person, somebody that might have a mental illness, can make that sort of decision to end their life whenever they may possibly get better?
I'm big on liberty.
Yeah, but that's if they ask for help, bigger, but I don't know.
If they ask for help, certainly give it to them. But if they don't want help, who are we to force help on someone?
Yeah, but clinical depression, that's you're not what I would consider.
I'm sorry, big brother. Tell me what's good for me.
Of your faculties.
You know what I mean? And tell me what's good for me, big brother.
Suicide?
If that's what I want, then fuck you.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you want to have suicide, I'll help.
I'm not against it, but I'm for a set of
I don't want that personally,
constraints.
But.
Like,
well, maybe you should.
You have to be a certain age, or you have to pass a certain test, or you know, to prove that you're, you know, you're okay with giving motherfuckers a gun without giving such tests out, right?
No.
Okay, well then why would you let them kill themselves?
That's different. It's themselves and not other people.
Okay, well just go get a gun if you can't pass the mental health test from the suicide the suicide pod. Just go get a fucking gun. That's an easier test to get. Blow your own fucking head off and call it a day, huh?
Pretty much.
Inflammatory.
I mean, you can cut your wrist at that point. It doesn't matter what method you use. It's the liberty. You know me. I'm a complete person of liberty. If that's what I want to do with my life and I'm not hurting anybody, if I want to end it, it's my decision. It's not Doesn't matter if I'm
you're
depressed.
In position of your faculty,
I could have just
though.
Had the best day of my life, right? I just went to Six Flags, had sex with 10 supermodels.
Oh, you lucky
fucking
dog.
Won the lottery. And you know what?
Don't
this is
that.
As good as it's ever getting for me. I'm done. I'm checking out. That's not depression, but I'm in, as far as I can turn in my right mind, say I'm done. I'm happy. I've lived it. I'm done. Who are you to say it's wrong?
I won't
wrong?
Endorse
so it's
that.
Like, so it's like
well, that's you. That's your choice.
And so I endorse assisted mine. Suicide, but I won't endorse that.
So it's like Scent of a Woman, where Al Pacino went and got the hooker and then had an agreeable meal. And
right.
Then I'm going to go home and blow my brains out.
Right. What's wrong with that? If that's what you want to do, it's your choice.
Isn't that a shame?
I mean, if I want to get a tattoo on my face or blow my brains out, you have no fucking right to tell me I'm wrong or right.
Yeah, nobody said that, but if you're coming to a doctor for assisted suicide, I can tell you you're wrong.
Yeah, what do you have, dependents? And, you know, you're just, well, I mean, for instance, I don't want to bring up somebody that worked right here in this studio. I don't think she was in full possession of her faculties when she took her life. That's a hell of a shame to me.
knowing that they could have made a different decision, or had they had to been able to rethink it or gave themselves a day, the decision wouldn't have been
the
same.
Exactly.
We don't know if she asked for help. That was a passion thing. As far as we all know. And it's so horrible to be discussing this right now because we don't know none of the decisions that went through her mind.
Me. I mean, she was on our show.
She
and
was
I loved the woman.
Ours, right?
I really liked the woman. She was a very nice lady.
It's her own right. I don't want to get into the specifics of it. It's not fair.
We're not naming any names. But
Cody says he put Six Flags at his best day ever. And Justin says, you did that at Six Flags.
yeah, buddy.
Boy, that's where you get laid.
Talk about family fun.
Yeah.
10. How many did you get? 10? Wow.
I don't know.
10.
Oh, shit.
What else you got on your list?
Fucking all kinds of stuff. Let's see. Vaccines.
I have not seen any compelling evidence that vaccines cause autism. I think that goes for GMO, too. I
don't have a problem with vaccines or GMO.
Right. I'll eat anything GMO. I'll eat plutonium like that guy on TV.
Well, I wouldn't suggest that.
A spoonful of plutonium.
Really.
Do that.
He ate it.
What about hospital-acquired infections? That's kind of like we were talking about earlier. Whenever they fuck you up, like if they're in there and they nick your bowel or whatever, it's the same difference.
Yeah, I mean, although, you know, you always hear about the guys leaving a mosquito hemostat. Hell, bigger than that, 13-inch, you know, all kinds of instruments they leave in people. But we talked about that. 180,000 people a year die from hospital mistakes, usually prescriptions, adverse drug reactions,
Jesus, that's a lot of people
that's
dying.
That's a lot of people.
That's half the amount of people that die from tobacco.
440,000 or what die from tobacco a year.
Pretty big.
88,000 from alcohol.
Hospital mistakes. You know, usually it's a prescription. You have an adverse drug reaction. It happens a lot. Absolutely.
I've only got one more note on here that really sticks out to me as something to talk about. It's only because I don't really know what this is talking about. It's something you mentioned, and I just jotted it down. Rachel Carlson. And what was it?
Rachel Carson.
Carson, that's okay.
Oh, don't tell me
extra
about that
elder.
Bitch.
Go on. Let's hear what you got to say about her. I know nothing about this, but it was important enough for you to mention.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's proper. I mean, it's technically medicine. Basically, she came out in the early 1960s and wrote this piece of shit book called Silent Spring. And apparently she said DDT is affecting robin's eggs, and it's making the eggs thinner, so they break. And it's this horrible scourge on the environment. So we don't use DDT in Africa anymore. And now the malaria, I mean, it's cost literally hundreds, if not millions of lives because they don't use DDT anymore.
So I get what you're saying.
This woman,
So whenever they, it's like the same thing with the Laetril or whatever. Whenever there's a perceived possible side effect that could be hurting something not related, they strike down the whole drug or the line of it. Yeah, I get you there.
Right. But, you know, malaria, we know, is a killer. And DDT is very effective at killing the mosquitoes. Anopheles mosquito that carries this thing, and we had it under control in Africa, and literally she has just wiped out whole villages in Africa because of this. So that's my Rachel Carson rant. Rachel Carson.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Doesn't have a direct influence.
Yes, I don't know
direct
if it's germane
to what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But, yeah. All right, well, that's pretty much all I had for today, you guys.
Well,
it was an interesting discussion. Like we said, it was less informative than it was inflammatory.
But I think overall conclusion, final thought, though, like if you don't see at least fucking 10 things wrong with the current medical industry right now, something's right. Like there needs to be a change. Do you agree or do you think it should be good the way it is? Price gouging the fuck out of us, you know, I mean.
No, that's the beauty of it. I have no opinion on that. I have no way to fix it.
I do.
So I don't know.
I think you start you start getting people paying for their own health care again. And I think that's what's going to. You know, you're going to start shopping around, and actually, I don't think it can hurt to bring some. There was a paper written by another guy that probably killed people. I'm glad he died, son of a bitch. his name was Kenneth Arrow, And he was an economist, and he wrote a paper in the early 60s, and it's kind of what led to Medicare, that said, you know, they had a disequilibrium of information, basically saying that you can't have economics, basic economics does not work in medicine, which I think is, like I said, cosmetic surgery proves that it can. I mean, I had a girlfriend, worked as a transcriptionist. She made maybe on a good day 30. She was a pretty good typist, so she made by word, you know. She made about $35 an hour. Now, this woman had breast implants that she paid for cash, and then she didn't like, she wanted to have a tummy tuck
right.
and some other work. And I said, how much is this going to cost? $17,000. And you're going to pay for, the doctor's going to put me on a, you know, on a payment plan. I'm going to pay him $400 or $500
What's wrong with that?
Nothing at all. But my point is, if you can pay for that, and here's a woman making, not a rich woman at all, middle
priorities.
Class to lower middle class, you can pay for medicine. That's all I'm saying. And if people start paying for medicine, it's going to go down. It's going to, you start introducing some competition. You know, you start calling podiatrists around here and saying, listen, we were talking about it. I need a bunionectomy done. Doc, you know, a lot of these guys have their own surgery center. A lot of this stuff can be done in office. I wouldn't recommend a bunion surgery if that's bone and screws, et cetera. But a lot of these little things can be done in the office. And he said, look, will you take $500 cash? I'll guarantee you somebody will do that surgery, which would probably be $10,000 if you send them to the, you know, the hospital with all their, you know, outrageous
fees. Well, it's the same thing as
somebody will do it.
It's the same thing with your car, though. There's the guy that wants $2,000 to replace your fucking muffler.
At the certified shop, or do you go to Jimbo down the road while he drinks a 12-pack and fucking figures your transmission out, you know? But he can do it.
All I need is a case of beer, $50 in 2 hours.
Yep, there it is. And then next thing you know, you see him riding his lawnmower down the street, drunk as shit. Your car's fucked up. And
Timothy made a good point. I'm saying she's very lazy, Timothy. So when she made $35 an hour, she worked 4 hours. So, but she was making, I'm going to say roughly she's making $35,000 a year, maybe.
Hmm.
Not, and she had two kids. So that's not a lot of money
and
with two kids.
Tits?
And
she bought tits?
Oh, nice tits. Oh, beautiful. Dad did a nice
qualifier
job.
There. Hold on. Not just any.
Yeah. Hey. Anyway. Yeah. Don't insult
All right,
them.
Guys. Let's go ahead and wind it out.
For sure, for sure. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/TheRealTalk. Look at the group, /TheRealTalk group.
Thanks for listening.
Twitter.com @SurrealTalkShow, and then www.SurrealTalkPodcast.com, and then on YouTube at...
YouTube.com/SurrealTalkPodcast.
Fuck, I don't remember. There it is.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah,
check out lineupmedia.fm for a lot of other cool podcasts on about every topic you can think of. Check out YoRadio.com for all your streaming radio and other online music opportunities.
Definitely. Right, we have a Patreon, but it's encouraged but not required.
Yeah, SurrealTalk.com/Patreon, yada, yada, yada. Armand, thank you as always for coming
on. Yeah, we appreciate you, Armand.
He's like the third Beatle of this show, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you can
see
me on
the unofficial third Beatle.
Twitter. I'm not on Twitter? No.
Oh.
I'm on a Bumble and what's that other dating site?
Plenty of Fish or something?
Plenty of Fish.
Tinder.
Farmer?
Tinder, that's the one, Tinder.
So look for Armand on your most popular dating apps. He's based out of around St. Louis, Illinois, so set your location
right.
with that.
I'm the cute guy.
What time are you usually active on these apps?
All the time.
Christian Mingle? Constantly. You're on the Christian Mingle?
No, I'm not on Alt. I'm not on Christian Mingle. I'm not on Herpes.
Are you on Grindr?
No, that's gay, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean...
I didn't know either. I was with them like, are you on Grindr? I don't know.
Hold it.
Grindr's gay? Is that what that is? I didn't know that.
It's the gay Tinder, I believe, right?
Oh, yeah, that's funny.
Well, you learn something every day.
All right, guys. We'll catch you next week. Thanks again for listening.
Please. Wake up.
This has been Surreal Talk, a lineupmedia.fm production. Listen online at surrealtalkpodcast.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets.
How come I know so much? What the hell is going on around here? Who are you people?
Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter and get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.